So here's the fantasy. You travel overseas, hoping to find yourself, hoping to see the world, and hoping that maybe, just maybe, you might meet the man or woman of your dreams. And then it happens. This amazing person enters your life and you're swept off your feet. You're in this beautiful, exotic place, and you find yourself deeply in love. It's a dream come true. It's perfect. The two of you will be this happy forever. And then it starts going wrong. You see, the reality of a travel romance is that it's fraught with danger. Maybe you'll start driving each other crazy after a few weeks. Maybe you'll go home and realize you have nothing in common. Maybe it will slowly dawn on you that having a sexy accent and a nice tan doesn't necessarily translate to being a caring, intelligent, long-term partner. Romance on the road is a beautiful thing. Until it's not. Hi, I'm Ben Groundwater, and you're listening to Flight of Fancy, the traveller.com.au podcast. Today's episode is all about finding love when you're travelling. It's about that rush of crazy emotions you feel when you meet someone in an exotic place. It's the beauty of sharing a romantic experience with someone you just met. It's the heady thrill of finding your perfect match in the most unlikely of places. And it's about when all of that goes wrong. To help me deal with some clear issues that I have today, I'm joined by two travellers who believe in a thing called love. First up, we have a filmmaker and producer who once chased a girl all the way to Argentina, Tim Schirotti.
A few occasions.
Straight in there. Yeah. And also my second guest is a columnist and comedian and my co-star on the web series Beauty and the Backpacker, Emma Markazu.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Well, actually, that's not true. I'm quite nervous. Are you guys nervous?
I feel so nervous. I feel like...
Yeah, this could be an interesting conversation.
I feel like I run the risk of incriminating myself
and many,
other people.
Many other people. Yeah,
yeah. My safety word is pineapples.
There you go. There might be some really creative editing that goes on in this. And that time when I was out with Mr. Black. There may be a lot of... Yeah, see, the trouble is I'm still friends with a lot of people that feature in
these stories.
Yeah, I'm not that friendly, so I'm good.
Okay. Yeah. That's good. Fine, I mean, all the long-term partners I've had hate my guts, but the ones that I've met overseas seem to... I'm still friends with. All of them. I'm sorry.
Have been changed to protect the innocent.
Black.
How about
Mr.
that?
Black, yeah. It is. Mr. Black and Ms. Pineapples.
Yeah.
So, guys, overseas romance, travel romance, how do you feel about it all up? Does it make you feel good? Does it make you feel bad? What do you think?
Yeah, love it. I think it's absolutely, the best part of travel, possibly.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, what about you, Tim?
I think romance is a big part of traveling.
Done right.
Yeah, done right. I mean, I could probably write a book on A Dummy's Guide to How to Stay Single, to be honest. Most of my stories end with it didn't work out, but I've fallen in love a bunch of times.
Well, here's the thing about love, though, I think in general, and I think this is really, really important, especially to this particular podcast, is that people think that for a love to be successful, it has to last forever.
Right.
But I think that a love can last for 5 days or 5 weeks and be just as successful as one that lasts for 5 decades. It doesn't have to last forever for it to be a successful romance. It is what it is. It was what you needed at the time. And it doesn't have to last forever to be successful. And I think that is the most important thing about romance while traveling, because a lot of them don't necessarily. Some do. But I think that thinking about it in terms of being successful or not successful is flawed, and we actually have to change our thinking about it.
I instantly feel better about
myself. That is good, yeah. I think that's a good place to wrap it up. Thanks very much for coming along.
Wow.
Okay. We're done. Yeah.
So glad to meet you.
that is a nice way to look at it, I think.
Yeah, I think that way helps.
I don't know if you guys know the movie Before Sunrise. Mm-hmm. It's basically two people who meet in Vienna and they spend an entire night walking around having this scintillating conversation, deeply intellectual, and they fall in love. And then they sort of break apart at the end of the day and never see each other again. And to me, that's what I thought overseas romance was going to be like when I first started traveling. And then I realized that, it's much more likely to just be dirty hostel sex and then never see
each Well, for you, Will. Yeah. For you, not for all of us.
The intelligent conversation doesn't seem to happen that much.
Well, this is the interesting thing. Do you find that you have more luck in English-speaking countries?
Yes.
Right. I do. I think that language is possibly a barrier to maybe falling in love sometimes.
Maybe.
I find girls like me a lot more when they don't speak. I think the thing with travel romances is you're in this exotic environment, you're speaking new language, having new experiences all the time. Like, travel in itself is quite a romantic thing. You get takeaway with the situation. And I think sometimes you've got to realize am I falling in love with the situation, or am I falling in love with this particular person?
Definitely. And do you find that you've fallen for people while you're traveling that you wouldn't normally?
All the time, my brother. Yeah. All the time. But a lot of the times I look back and I think about how deeply in love I was with this person. I look at it, I'm like going, hang on, I was just in love with that situation.
But you wouldn't give it up though, right? You wouldn't go back and not have the experience.
I think that's the thing we need to explain is that I certainly don't regret any of these things.
No. Not at all. No.
It's just like it's one of the great things about travel, but also, man, I've made some dumb decisions.
Yeah, sometimes. You might change some travel plans perhaps due to a person, that kind of thing. Yeah. You might change those decisions perhaps.
Possibly. Mm. We'll get to specifics later, don't you worry about that. Can you guys remember the first time you fell in love while you were traveling?
Yes.
Or the first crush? What was yours, Tim?
I was backpacking, ripe old age of 18. I was in full moon party in the south of Thailand, in the islands, and I fell deeply in love with this beautiful Brazilian girl. I think it was more because, you know, I'd grown up in Sydney in quite a sort of conservative area, and she was just so far from anything that I knew. Yeah. It was just this kind of new experience meeting her, and I just fell in love with her, you know, her fire and her passion and this whole South America. It's the first South American girl I'd ever really known.
Right.
I think I fell in love with her because she was South American and so different more than anything else. And also we're in this beautiful situation, you know, island hopping through the south of Thailand. The situation was just so romantic in itself. But that was the first time I fell in love on the road.
How did that work out?
Oh, I failed.
Right. What happened?
I don't know. She actually ended up coming to meet me. Like, I was on a big world trip, so I had to continue on. She had to go back to Portugal, I think she was staying.
Yeah.
And I ended up in Spain, and she came to meet me in Spain, and we spent a romantic 2 weeks in Spain together camping, and then that was it. I don't know. She went home. I kept traveling.
Oh, that sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, that was the end of the story, really. So if you're out there, give me a call.
Mine was definitely not quite that good. My first travel romance was an American. I thought of him as kind of a mountain man because I'd gone to the snow. I'd never really been to the snow like that before. Went to the snow town and there was this guy. And in reality, he was probably a 23-year-old guy with pimples and a pickup truck, but to me at the time he was just this amazing rugged mountain man from Colorado, and I thought he was amazing, and in fact did this thing which I so often do where I leave the situation and I miss them, and then I put myself back in the situation and I go, oh, I'm coming to visit again to your area in like a couple of weeks. What a coincidence. Can I stay with you? And I've done this so many times when I travel and it very rarely works out. So like, actually, I'm going to be away then. So then I'm stuck in this place with nowhere to stay because I've already booked the tickets. So yeah, you do have to make sure that everyone's on the same page, I think.
I agree.
Yeah. My first one was I was living in Scotland when I was 17 and I was working at this summer school, and I met this girl who was from Edinburgh who was also working at the summer school, and she was way out of my league, like really incredibly attractive and...
Oh, come on, mate. Don't sell yourself short.
And had this great Scottish accent, and the thing was that she had never... This was kind of like your Brazilian girl. She'd never met an Australian before, and so she was like, oh, my God, Australian.
This chick was way out of my league as well.
And so we were together for a little while, and I was totally smitten. And, you know, obviously it came to an end where she was going to go back to Edinburgh and rejoin her normal life and stop this whole Australian thing. And I just had to sort of plod along in the small town that I was in, and I was pretty devastated for a while. It was hard to get over.
You're listening to Flight of Fancy. If you're enjoying the podcast, you can find stories by our guests and other great writers at traveller.com.au.
Well, that's the other thing as well. I mean, can you transport these relationships back home? You know, I find that sometimes that's often the real litmus test is when you transport relationships back to home.
Yeah.
I've had some bad experiences doing that.
I had one. I had a kind of an odd relationship with a girl that I'm still in touch with, and we're still friends.
Pineapples.
Mr. Black. We met when I was traveling. I was working for a tour company and called Top Deck, and we met. I was working there, and she was a passenger, which is really not the thing you're supposed
sure
to do.
I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to do that.
You're definitely not allowed to do. I got in a lot of trouble afterwards, but you know, when you're traveling, we've been talking about the kind of intensity of romance. It was this really intense thing where we were both at a stage of our lives where we kind of wanted to meet someone, I think. And so it was super intense. And then we hung out for a couple of days after the tour, and then she went home to Australia and I stayed over there working. And we just kept in contact over text message, basically. a lot, like far too much, texting each other all the time. And I think kind of built up this idea of what the other person was like just through pure texting,
right.
Which is a lesson I did not learn, by the way.
No, you did not.
And then I decided, there's something here. I need to go home and pursue this. Like, it would be such a waste. I'm going to make this romantic gesture. And I had kind of failed to realize that the level of texting was sort of gradually getting lower and lower. In my mind, everything was fine. And I was like, I need to make this grand gesture. And I was like, I'm coming back. I'm going to move to Sydney and let's see what happens. And she was like, maybe you shouldn't.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I'm making a gesture and I've decided to make this gesture. And I quit my job and I moved back to Sydney.
Wow.
And
is this going where I think it's going?
I mean, look,
I don't know if I can deal with this. I'm already emotional.
I mean, she gave me all the warning signs she could have possibly given me that there was nothing happening here, and it was
she
done.
Possibly could have been a little more forceful. Can we
hear the conclusion? We're assuming here.
I got home and it was done. It was done before I got home, and I should have realized that.
We
just sort of hung out for a couple of days together and never really even broached the subject of what was going on.
And that was in Sydney.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Been here ever since.
I have been here ever since. And actually, it worked out really well.
Right now,
it worked out really well for both of us. She's a lovely girl, and she is now like married with three kids.
There you go.
And I got an amazing job out of it. I got into travel writing. Everything worked out well. And I do have this kind of old belief in, things happening for a reason and everything. So it's not something that I would ever look back on in regret. But at the time, it was a little disappointing. What happened to you, Marky? You moved to Sydney for someone as well.
I did, yeah. So he was living here when we met. So after about a year and a half, I did very similar thing. Made this grand gesture and said, I'm going to move here. I'm going to move here for you. In fact, I'm going to move in with you, I've decided, and I'm going to move into your house. And he was like, okie dokie. So I did that, and it continued for another few years, granted. But he ended up, when we broke up, he ended up moving back to where I came from in the first place to get away from me. So, But again, would not give it back, of course.
What about you, Tim? You had someone move over here.
I had someone move over here. There was a girl I met while I was traveling. I'm not going to name any names. She'll know who she is. She'll come and bash me later on. But she moved to Sydney. And I think because we'd sort of met in a real sort of carefree travel environment where I wasn't working. It was actually, I met in Australia, but traveling around. I was in my van going up the coast and just traveling around in my van. Mm-hmm. So I met her during that. So we were living this very carefree, almost hippie-like lifestyle where there was nothing to worry about and neither of us had jobs and we're just floating around. And then I decided to start working in my production company and get it back off the ground again and come back to Sydney and move into an apartment and make it work. So I was working really hard. She was still in the traveler mindset. So she got frustrated with me being so busy and I got frustrated with her because she was just, partying every night and sleeping half the day. And it just was a recipe for disaster. And then, just sitting in our apartment, dark, gloomy winter's day, looking at each other and thinking how far we've come from the bronze carefree wanderers that we once were. And it's just amazing how we had changed and how I had changed and she had changed.
Because you can't be the same person at home as you are when you're traveling.
It's the big difference that you're not working, right?
Yeah,
that's
totally.
Essentially, more than anything, is the big difference. You are not working for weeks at a time. So the traveler you is going to be very different.
Optimum you. It's like 110% you.
Absolutely, isn't it? You've got so much more energy. You wear things even that you would never wear before. All these kind of crazy sort of ideas come to you and you just act on them. You would never do that if you had to get up and go to work in the morning.
Yeah, and you're loving life over there. Everything's great. Yeah. There's no boss to annoy you. There's no dramas with the trains being late or anything. It's all good.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, like I said before, if you fall in love while you're traveling, you've got to almost subtract the scenario that you're in and then just be left with the person and think, am I in love with that person rather than this situation, what this situation created?
I find the romance of the travel experience makes you more likely to fall in love anyway, even if you're not out there looking for someone. Like just the kind of the thrill and the mindset that you're in makes everything. Yeah, definitely.
I love lamp.
Well, everything is in fast forward as well, is it? You can fall in and then out of love in 5 days.
For sure.
Quite easily, which you wouldn't do at home. Yeah. You know, it takes much longer. You go on maybe a date a week. You meet someone at home. You see them for Friday night drinks a few weeks in a row. You go, they're okay. It takes a lot longer. It's a lot more protracted that way.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're on the road, you can literally fall in love within 2 days.
Yeah.
Somehow. I don't know how.
I had a holiday. 2 minutes. I had a holiday in a country with a person.
Is it Mr. Black by any chance? God, you like this guy.
and like we were traveling as friends, but it was, there was this like super intense, and I mean on my behalf anyway, super intense kind of feelings and forbidden feelings. and it was really intense. Like it was like before sunrise. There were like all these amazing conversations and shared experiences, and it just all piles in, and you can't help yourself. And
so I just love that forbidden.
I mean, obviously it didn't work out well, but there was nothing ever happened. But it was, yeah, it might have been purely from my behalf.
Yeah. It might have been. About that time that we went traveling. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
And then when we shared a camper van.
My goodness.
You can't share a camper van.
That's a whole nother podcast.
Do you guys want
it?
Me to leave the table?
Yeah, you might have to. Now, let's talk about crazy decisions that you guys have made in relation to romance and love. I have a feeling, Tim, that you have maybe.
I feel like. Yeah.
Why are you
like
guys looking at me?
I feel like you're going to beat me on this.
Yeah. I mean, have you done things that you, in retrospect, you think, what was I thinking?
So many times. heaps. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, getting married, I may or may not have got married when I was at Burning Man.
Come on.
With a girl.
You beat me. I'm not even telling
I don't know how
story.
Official. It seemed kind of official. I'd known
you
the
married,
girl for about an...
So you married someone?
Well, I don't know. I mean, God, I don't know.
You don't know.
The story's hazy. No. I'd known the girl for about an hour and a half. There was this kind of inflatable chapel at Burning Man.
Right.
The priest was.
It is pretty easy to get married in America. You probably are legally married.
Yeah, you're legally married in the
US. I can safely say we've lived a pretty independent relationship ever since that moment.
Do you remember her name?
Sure, I do. Mr. Black.
You don't have to say it, but you do.
No, I don't. Okay. But we got married, and I don't know, the priest was wearing a tutu, quite clearly intoxicated.
Oh, man, that's so good.
There was a large procession of people waiting to get married as well.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
I think
a,
we had
a
like
story.
A little glowy ring. As like
so
our
how did you
ring.
How did you meet her? You just at random? You
I
were
was
chatting
so
to her?
Deeply in love, Ben.
Right, okay.
I think the crowd parted on the dance floor and just
yeah, there she was under
Tiffany
a spotlight.
Tiffany was there and... Yeah. Yeah, we decided, you know.
What were you wearing, just out of interest?
What was I wearing? I was wearing a large, like... Oh, no, I was wearing... That's right. I was wearing an African muumuu that I bought in South Africa. Moon boots. And right. I had half a watermelon on my head.
Perfect.
That was my wedding outfit.
I mean, that's fairly irresistible to any girl, to be fair.
Yeah.
God, Burning Man. I'm not gonna. I don't even think that's the only time I've been married at a festival either.
Is this something that you're gonna have to tell prospective partners from now on?
Yeah.
I just got to keep changing my postcode and name every few
you
months.
You do, yeah.
And keep doing it.
That is impressive.
How about you, Mike?
I've never done anything even close to that. Yeah. No, the most of the time I just make my friends travel hundreds of kilometers to just drop in on people. I do that a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Remember that holiday fling? Hi.
I'm back. Actually the worst one that ever happened was coming home from this quite amazing fling, probably the best holiday fling I had ever had in my life, to drop in on him to discover he lived with his girlfriend.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the other side of that. You've got to be very careful about, I think,
this
who
is
you
true.
End
Surprises.
Up with. Because it's very easy for people to lie when they're on the road, isn't it?
Right.
So he had a partner back at home while he was...
Did.
Oh, okay.
Yes, which I was unaware of until the point that I went to...
How did you get his address?
Well, I think he must have given me his business card from memory, and so I had it or something. I just had it, so I thought I'll pop in. I'll do the pop in, which is what I do the pop in.
Where did you travel from to get there?
Where did I travel from? Oh, it was only a couple of hours.
Oh, that's okay.
So he also lived in Australia. No, he lived in Australia. Okay. I lived in Australia. So it didn't seem like too much of a stretch.
Yep.
Luckily, she wasn't home at the time that I called in on them. It was just him. But, yeah.
Flight of Fancy is brought to you by Intrepid Travel. Intrepid believes that travel has a special power to connect people, to make friends of strangers, lovers of friends, and bring cultures together, to make this big world feel just a little bit smaller. The beauty of small group travel isn't just new places, it's new perspectives. It's the stories you hear and the friendships you forge, the ones that stick around long after the tan has faded. Whether it's sharing a meal with a Peruvian family or exploring the orangutan-filled jungles of Borneo, Intrepid Travel will get you off the beaten path to truly connect with the people, cultures, and environments around you. To foster your love of travel, visit intrepidtravel.com. Of intercontinental journeys for someone else.
Oh, look at me again, are we? Oh, okay.
Argentina? You went to Argentina?
Not actually Argentina. Brazil.
Right.
Okay. I was at the end. I did a big 3-month travel around the world filming. So it was 3 months around the world. Ended up in Mexico City.
Yeah.
I got in touch with an old flame of mine and found out that she was currently living in São Paulo in Brazil. I had a flight back to Australia the next day. I literally just didn't show up to my flight.
Wow.
Sounds expensive.
Yeah, it was very expensive. I went to the Brazilian embassy in Mexico City, convinced them to give me a visa pretty quick smart, and I jumped on the next plane.
All you would have had to do
Brazil.
Is explain your journey. Yeah.
But that, the thing exactly. is, the Brazilians get it.
Yeah, they totally. Get it. Absolutely.
If it was like the Germans, they'd be like, no. But the Brazilians, I'm like, but I'm in love. And they're like, oh, you're in love? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, the man is in love. Get the visa. That's the worst Brazilian accent.
If it had been an Australian embassy, they would have been, mate, doesn't sound like a good
Wait,
idea.
Slap yourself around,
you sure about this,
back
mate?
On the horse, get back to Australia.
Plenty of fish in the sea,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, mate, come on. Be in Brazil. They get it. They get love.
They do.
So I ended up in Brazil. I stayed there for 5 months as
wow,
well.
Wow, that yeah. is significant.
That's pretty successful, I
yeah.
think.
Yeah, see, we would call that successful.
Successful? Yeah.
No, wouldn't you?
No, it was,
we didn't
yeah.
get turned away at the door.
No, she's a great human, still good friends with her, yep. so great human.
There but, you go.
Like most of my love stories, it didn't work out.
So, guys, how do you meet people when you're traveling? Are there sort of, you know, do you use Tinder? Is that
mean,
a thing? Do you
meet I people have, in bars? I have used, yeah. yeah, I've used online dating. I mean, you are more likely to meet people in bars, I think, because you're
right.
looking to meet new people. But mm-hmm. I have also done things like use Tinder in places. And, in fact, have some great stories, like, because you just want to meet new people. So.
Right.
You kind of turn up on these dates. I've had one where this guy ended up getting me a whole bunch of work back home. Like I went right. on one date with him in San Francisco, came home. He ended up setting me up with all this work for 6 months and it worked
wow.
out really well. So
wow. that's a successful Tinder date.
Yeah.
yeah.
Do you declare I'm a traveler or I'm leaving in the next few days?
Not until I get on the date.
Right.
Not
okay.
not before that
right.
because
yeah,
it might not show up.
To scare people away. Yeah,
at the
okay.
time, yes. And again, I mean, you've got to remember that everyone on the planet has an accent to someone else.
Right.
So when you turn up and you have a cute Australian accent, apparently,
yeah.
then it works a lot better that way.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm. And didn't you did some Tindering in Italy as well, didn't you?
Oh, I did, actually. I played, yeah. I called it Tinder Bingo right. in Italy.
Oh, God, this sounds good.
I travelled, spent a couple of months sort of travelling down the Italian countryside, and I had my sisters had given me a Tinder Bingo checklist, and it had all the very sort of typical Italian names on there, like... Mm-hmm.
Mario
and all of them, et cetera.
I think they're all called Mario.
They're all Mario. So Gianfranco, there's a whole list of them, about 15 names, and I had to tick off one of each.
Wow. with dates?
With dates.
Wow,
yeah. Wow, that's great. Yeah.
How many dates did you go on?
I think it was about 12.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what were they like?
Do you know what?
What was Luigi like?
Luigi was the only one I couldn't find.
Really?
He was the only one left on my list, and I didn't win bingo. But because Tinder gives you, obviously, the opportunity to have a bit of chat and a bit of text beforehand, it was obviously people who could speak enough English
yep.
or... Because my Italian is very, very rough.
Because it's so hard to meet men in Italy, isn't it?
Yeah, I heard it's almost impossible.
Right? Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely. Not like they're just going to come up and start talking to you.
No, absolutely not. In fact, there was one time I was on a Tinder date in Tuscany somewhere,
mm-hmm.
on the date, and this other guy came up and pinched my bum while I was on the date with someone else.
Welcome to Italy.
Yeah. Way to live up to the stereotype,
yeah.
guys.
Yeah, they do actually pinch your bum. It's amazing, yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Tim? How do you meet people?
Well, I'm a bit old-fashioned with the Tinder thing. I've used it.
Yeah.
I actually had a really cool experience. The only time I've ever really sort of used it overseas, I was in Munich and I met a girl on Tinder and she's like, I want to take you on this Tinder date to see my friend's band. And I was like, well, that sounds pretty cool. So went with her and it turns out her friend's band was like this hardcore, like deep German like punky, of course, yeah. dubsteppy, intense, right. like rebellious band. So I went with her to this like this rock club in Munich. It was just such a different side to the city. I don't think we even hooked up in the end or anything, but I just had this amazing experience that I wouldn't have had otherwise.
That's pretty cool.
Exactly. So I can't talk badly about
Tinder. Yeah, it's more a way to meet
people. Not necessarily have a romance.
I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. I got to the end, I was like, man, I'm going to use Tinder all the time. And I deleted it like 2 days later. But I think the reason why I deleted it is because I'm kind of scared that I'm, again, old-fashioned. I don't say this is right, but I'm scared of meeting someone that I might end up with forever. And our story is
that's
we
a
met
terrible
on a
reason.
I know.
That's
like
an
I said, it's my opinion.
Shocking reason.
I know.
Would
I'm
you
not, saying
not rather
I'm right?
meet the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with?
That's
full
a good
stop.
Way to put it. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Who cares how you met?
Yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't feel organic for me.
So when you travel, you hang out in bars and meet people that way, or
Bars. I don't know. There's so many different situations. I mean, a lot of the times, like, I mean, the last girlfriend I had, I met on a beach. She was taking photos with a friend. I went up, like the creep that I am, and offered to take a photo of her and her friend together, and we got chatting, and then we just sort of hit it off then.
Yeah.
And there's just like situations come up all throughout the day and the night. It doesn't have to be at a bar.
Well, that's the thing, because you're out all day and night.
Exactly.
You're at home.
Generally, when you're traveling, you're sort of open to meeting people, and you're saying like you're kind of super you, so you've got a lot of energy and you're quite vivacious when you're traveling anyway.
So
you're kind of more open to meeting new people. So it can be any situation. Yeah. Bars are good, I think.
Always,
that's a good one.
Just,
if you're staying in a hostel, around a hostel.
Anywhere kind of social, like even markets and that sort of thing where you're interacting with people and it's easy to strike up a conversation.
I think the trick is if you're trying to find someone, don't go out trying to find someone.
Right.
Yes. As soon as you start coming on, and girls you're can sense it. Guys as well, but you can sense someone that's really keen to meet someone, and that's not a very attractive sight, I think. So if you're just cruising and you're with some friends having a good time, you just get chatting and you just have a general conversation, sometimes something might happen.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to talk to you guys about traveling with someone who is already your partner because, you know, travel romance is not just meeting new people. It's also traveling with someone you're already in love with.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, is it make or break? What do you reckon, Mark?
That's called moving in together.
Yeah. But traveling is like 24 hours a day.
Yeah, 24/7.
If you live together, it's not 24/7.
I think it is make or break usually. For most people, I think they find it's make rather than break. But every now and again, it is something where they realize, oh my God, I had no idea that this person chewing their cereal is so irritating.
And you see people at their best and also their worst when they're traveling as well. Like you see people under stress and how they deal with that.
Exactly. So, I think it is definitely make or break. I think usually, though, by the time that you decide to take a big trip together, you're probably pretty solid, one would hope. But not always. I mean, sometimes you do it. And this is the good thing, I think, about meeting someone while traveling is you've kind of got that out of the way already. So you've kind of got some of the big stuff like spending 24 hours a day or traveling together out of the way literally straight away.
Yeah.
Whereas if you meet someone at home, it takes a long time to work up to that kind of big step. But I think that for most people, they enjoy it.
I think they do.
Yeah.
I've actually had success in this area, I have to say, which is, I know, surprising.
That's new for you. Yeah. Excellent.
I've really enjoyed traveling with my partner. My girlfriend Jess and I went to Africa and drove around for a month last year, and it was the best holiday of my life. You know, it was great to have someone there all the time to share it with, and I think it like really, really kind of solidified the relationship having gone through all that stuff together, because there were challenges and you know, things that went wrong, and when you get through all that together, it really brings you together.
Yeah, definitely.
I would say, though, if you're going to do a driving holiday, GPS is your best friend. GPS saved our relationship, I think. Yeah. I want to write to the Garmin people and say, you did it.
You can see a sponsorship coming.
Yeah, that's right.
I think you learn a lot about your partner when you're traveling with them as well.
Yeah.
Like I traveled with a girlfriend of mine through Indonesia. We went on a surf boat and it was kind of like I had the best time ever, but it was kind of the trip from hell in the sense that the boat itself was completely infested with fleas and bed bugs.
Oh, right. Great.
So like we were covered with flea bites and bed bug bites. And let me tell you, like, it is just the worst feeling ever.
Yeah.
And I brought my girlfriend with me for this trip, and we ended up just sort of sleeping on the deck in our surfboard bags because we couldn't even go below. It was so intense.
Yeah, right.
So it was a pretty, like, harrowing experience.
Did you guys get on the whole time?
Well, that's the thing. She came through, like, in my mind, I was amazed how well she handled it.
Yeah.
At no point did she jump ship and complain too much. She wasn't the one complaining in the corner. She was, I mean, obviously we were all uncomfortable, but she got to the end of the trip with a smile and a dial, and we had a great time regardless of the tough situation. So I think I learned more about her on that trip and how strong she can actually be in a situation like that, and probably ended up with probably respecting her even more after that particular trip. And let me tell you, bed bugs, there's nothing positive about bed bugs.
There's not.
No.
There's like Satan's spawn.
Yep, I would agree with that.
On the flip side to traveling with your partner, how about long distance relationships? Because that's something that travelers kind of have to deal with sometimes. My entire career is a long distance relationship because I'm away a lot for work and away from my partner, and it's hard. It's really difficult.
Well, like I think things like social media make it much, much worse.
I absolutely agree.
But things like FaceTime make it better.
Right, so, yeah. So how do you balance that?
That's a very good question. I think that social media in particular is a big factor here, because if you're the one that's away and you are posting pictures of you out all the time in these amazing exotic locations, the other person is seeing them, it kind of starts building up this jealousy that can't help but happen.
And you kind of create an idea in your head of what they're doing. Even,
exactly.
And that might not be anywhere near the truth.
Yeah, like if everybody you see a always picture posts of them on social with media some girls the behind, best thing. Girls yeah, are behind them at the bar, they're like, well, he probably took that picture, turned around and started talking to those girls.
And then slept with all of them.
Exactly. Yeah, but we all know that we create this picture of our own social media that is this ideal life.
Yeah, you don't take a photo of yourself bored on a train,
no,
do you?
No, of course. We can't help but see other people's lives as being more exciting than our own, unfortunately. It's just this weird psychosomatic thing that happens with social media. But then there are things like FaceTime. So I think if you can be FaceTiming them every day, then they're still seeing your face, and I think you still feel a lot closer that way.
Yeah, I sometimes wonder about that, because I've talked to people who've been in long-distance relationships before there was email, before there was all these, Skype and all that sort of stuff. And they would just keep in contact with a letter every two or 3 weeks or something like that. Like, that's such
it's
a different
lot,
experience
a different
to
level
what we have
of trust.
Now.
So much
that's
easier.
That is. I mean, that's in a way, it is so much easier. You're right. Like, you don't have to worry about the kind of minutiae of the way your relationship is going while you're traveling.
Post
it's just
like write them ahead.
Yeah,
and, like,
some postcards.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Whereas now you're in such constant contact that you always know what they're up to and you always know how they're feeling and you know when things aren't going so well and when things are great. And
if you don't contact every day, they start to worry.
Absolutely.
And
totally.
Like, everything's okay. I just didn't go on Facebook today. Is
that's
that okay?
That's a difficult thing, yeah. What destinations do you think are good for traveling and meeting someone? Where are you more likely to meet a partner?
Do you know what? I'm going to say that this is controversial. A lot of people, this is very polarizing, this kind of travel. But I've got to say, cruising.
Cruising?
Yeah, cruising.
I think we've gone from one end of the age thing to the other, haven't we?
No, I mean, cruising is literally, it's year on year more and more popular than ever before. Everyone of every age is cruising now. It's a really huge part of the travel industry.
I mean, it's kind of like tours. Like, the tours that I used to work on, people hooked up on those all the time.
Yeah, I think it's, you're in
a top deck.
A cruise is like a grown-up version
of
that, really, isn't it?
It's, you know what it is? It's a floating city. These ships carry up to, 5,000-6,000 people. It's like a small town. And but also no one can go anywhere. So
captive audience.
Really captive audience.
So you don't have to chase them halfway.
Exactly.
The
you don't have to
knock
go
on,
far.
Knock on door 23.
Exactly. Yep.
Just drop it in.
Yeah. It's a combined amount of time, a confined space. Everyone's kind of there to have fun. I find that is a place where if you are looking, you'll definitely find someone.
How about you, Tim? Destinations?
Anywhere with palm trees, beaches, and beach bars.
Yeah, it's true. Yes. Something about swaying palm trees. It gets me every time.
I think anywhere backpackery as well, because the I think the reality is that you're probably more likely to meet another traveler than you are to meet a local.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you're in those kind of backpackery party destinations like Thailand and Vietnam and Cambodia.
Large portion of single people.
Exactly,
as well.
Yeah. So. Everyone's there for the same reason, to have fun and just relax and enjoy themselves.
I'm actually going to two weddings next month, and both of them met while backpacking around. So one couple met in Bali and the other one met in Vietnam, and now they're getting married. So it works out sometimes. It does happen.
We all are telling disaster stories here, but this does, it does work out a lot of
it
the
does.
Time.
Oh,
yeah.
It's amazing
yeah.
the people that you meet who got together while they're traveling.
Absolutely.
A lot of my friends, one of my close friends is now married with 3 kids. With a girl that he met traveling through South America. So it does happen. I'm just jaded, man. I'm
just cynical folk.
Cynical old jaded. Need a bottle of whiskey on this table.
Yeah.
So if you would like to see more of Tim's work, you can check him out at Rome Travel on Facebook. And for Marky, you can follow her on Instagram at Marky Knows Best. If you'd like to read stories from me or any of the team on Flight of Fancy, you can check them out at traveller.com.au. And if you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, you can find us in iTunes or on your favourite podcasting app. We'll see you next time.